SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network for the next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi and myself, Ben Stevens, breaking things down here around the National Football League with news and notes you need to know and some college football conversations without a doubt on this Thursday on FFC as well. Lisi guy, glad to be here with you for the next 58 minutes live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
Yeah, the countdown begins, doesn't it, Ben? And I think it's the countdown for college football. We know that the NFL season typically starts the week after Labor Day, and college football does kick off the last week, of August, and that's what it's all about. Less than 100 days away, we have the culmination of EA Sports College Football 2025 on the horizon, right? We wet the palate a little bit. We have schedules that are out, marquee times for top 25 battles. This is the calm before the storm, baby. This is what it's all about, the offseason. We have to start to formulate who's a contender and who's a pretender, and we'll do that over the next few weeks.
Absolutely so, Joe. That is our goal here. We use these times in the offseason over the next 4, 5, 6 weeks before we fully dive into training camp, before we get to media days, before we get to fall camp in college football to take that early look here for a new football season and beyond. Some news, though, Joe. Around the National Football League, it's been a big week of contracts as mandatory mini camps are underway around the NFL. So guys are back in the facility. You're starting to have those conversations once again. And Mecole Hardman, after being traded back to Kansas City last year after signing with the New York Jets and did not play much in New York, came back in a midseason deal to KC, was there for the final 6 weeks of the regular season, the playoff run, and ultimately his biggest moment as a member of this Chiefs franchise, the catch in overtime, the game-winning touchdown to be victorious in Super Bowl 58. Well, he has re-signed a new deal with Kansas City, Joe, a one-year contract that will bring him back as a member of this Chiefs franchise.
Yeah, a veteran, right? And that's exactly what you want, you know, to really learn maybe potentially those younger wide receivers like Xavier Worthy. Is Mecole Hardman a Tyreek Hill star? No, but he's a durable and dependable type of wide receiver that in the clutch, Pat Mahomes looked to, especially in terms of the final drive, right? Didn't even know that he scored the game-winning touchdown until Pat Mahomes had to tell him, hey, baby, we're Super Bowl champs. But, you know, he's a burner, runs about a 4.3, former Georgia Bulldog. He's a sprinter. You put Mecole Hardman and Xavier Worthy on opposite sides, all of a sudden now you're stretching defenses vertically and you're able to open up maybe even the rushing attack that at times with Isaiah Pacheco, even though it was productive, there were signs of inconsistency in critical spots. That's what you want to see. You want to see very good balance, both throwing the football. Mecole Hardman adds that with his speed in that offense, Ben.
Yeah, it's a different wide receiver room already for Kansas City than the one that was much maligned, frankly, for most of the 2023 campaign. That was really the criticism of Kansas City. Was Patrick Mahomes' wide receivers, were they able to play at the highest level to bring the Chiefs back to an AFC Championship game or a Super Bowl? Obviously, in the end, they were, and Travis Kelce, the tight end, always a part of that receiver core for Kansas City. But it was Mecole Hardman stepping up throughout the postseason. It was Marquez Valdez-Scantling making some good catches in the playoff run as well. And, of course, Rashee Rice with the rookie emergence. But it's been an interesting offseason, Joe, for this KC wideout group, where you would have thought one of the main points of emphasis for Brett Veach, the GM in KC, and this Chiefs organization was to rebuild that wide receiver room. Of course, Rashee Rice has dealt with numerous off-the-field issues. What his future is in the National Football League, if any discipline might come down his way, that is still still outstanding at this moment, but the Chiefs have kind of reinvented that wide receiver core. They let go of MVS. They brought in Marquise Hollywood Brown from the Arizona Cardinals, and of course made the draft day deal with the Buffalo Bills to move up to number 28 overall and take the speedster out of Texas, Xavier Worthy, who ran the fastest 40-yard dash in the history of the NFL scouting combine at 4.21 seconds. A lot of speed with Hardman, Brown, and Worthy in that KC wide receiver room.
Yeah, and think about, you know, when you have Pat Mahomes, you could afford to make some changes, right? When you think about it, they experimented last year in terms of the draft picks with Sky Moore, a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah.
Rashee Rice was the best wide receiver, but again, not elite. You know, had high highs in some games, he was non-existent as well. But with Pat Mahomes, you could afford to make slight changes. You could afford to roll the dice and say, let's implement Xavier Worthy into that offense. Let's see if we can add Mecole Hardman and see if we can catch lightning in a bottle in year number two in terms of his return. When Pat Mahomes is behind center, he makes everybody around him better, just like Tom Brady, right? That when you have that star MVP quarterback, you then can afford to roll the dice and say, you know what, we'll take a shot. And I'm not suggesting that Xavier Worthy is going to be a bust, but he's a little bit frail. We know that he needs to add a little bit of size. Did struggle with some drops in terms of Texas, but his upside is huge. If he could obviously hit the ground running and then all of a sudden progress year to year, now you have a player in your organization for what, 4, 5, potentially 7 seasons. So that's what it's all about, getting these young guys, developing them, and then building them around Pat Mahomes to win multiple Super Bowls, not just number 4.
Right, and when you think about Kansas City, Joe, they are in the hunt for their third consecutive Lombardi Trophy. We have never seen a 3-time back-to-back-to-back repeat champion winning a Super Bowl championship in National Football League history. We've seen multiple teams win it 2 consecutive years, most recently before this Kansas City Chiefs organization, the Patriots in 04 and 05, and here are the Chiefs on the precipice of being in contention for history once again. Kansas City will enter 2024 with the second-best price to win that third straight Super Bowl at 6-1, 50 cents behind the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners booked as the favorites, Joe, at a plus 550 number.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, the Chiefs are deserving. Even when last year it looked like it would be a difficult road with them not getting home field advantage, they went into Baltimore, get the victory, grind it out, and all of a sudden it's the usual suspects, Travis Kelce stepping up, right? Again, he wasn't as consistent as he's been in years past, but when the chips were in the middle of the table, he stepped up. And again, they deserve to be there because of Pat Mahomes. That's it. Comes down to the quarterback position. Doesn't matter who you put around them, he'll elevate his game and elevate everybody around them, and that's why they're trying for the three-peat. We talked about this with Georgia in the college side. If they're able to do this in this current landscape, that would be a monumental feat for Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. Just thinking about the turnover and free agency to do it modern day would be unbelievable.
Yeah, and we'll see how Kansas City does approach that. But what we know for this KC team, in the past 5 seasons, Patrick Mahomes at the helm of this Chiefs organization, there has been so many good things year by year. They are going to be around, Joe. This is not a KC team that is going to miss the postseason. We don't believe, barring any significant injuries. This is not a KC team that is going to struggle to get there. All 6 years with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback since the beginning of 2018, they have at least reached the AFC Championship game. 4 Super Bowl appearances in those 6 seasons with 3 Lombardi trophies to show for it. And they are the favorites to win the AFC once again at plus 370 in what we expect to be a very competitive conference. At the end of the day, Joe, do you think KC will at least be playing in that AFC title game when all is said and done?
It's hard to say no. But again, I mean, you know, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, you know, they're going to have the bullseye on their back yet again. And I understand they have Mahomes. If I had a bet, I'm going to say no. Even though they deserve it and they've done it, I'll bet against to the no.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Joe. It really, really is to see how Kansas City can match sky-high expectation once again, but it's sky-high expectation based on what has already been proven for KC. More around the National Football League comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. A couple of news and notes around the National Football League for the conversation today, Joe. We talked about KC, their wide receiver room that now adds Hollywood Brown. Well, Hollywood Brown, Marquise being his actual name, Marquise Brown was in Arizona the last few years, reunited with his college quarterback in Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, Joe, at this point of last offseason, was rehabbing from a torn ACL that he suffered near the end of December in 2022. We weren't sure when we would see Kyler Murray. At this point last offseason, the Cardinals had by far the lowest win total of any of the 32 NFL organizations around the league at 4.5, and the under had the juice. Well, it turned out the under was correct, as the Cardinals only went 4-13 a season ago. But beyond that, Joe, they won three of those four games with Kyler Murray back at the helm. In fact, when Kyler Murray returned week number 10 from that ACL injury, the Cardinals were 3-4. They are actually a guttier team, I think, than we imagined last year under first-year head coach Jonathan Gannon. So Kyler was asked into this offseason program how he feels about Arizona, how he feels about what he can do. He said, quote, "I don't put any limitation on what we can do. Everybody's playing faster, more comfortable. The rookies that we had last year, a great group, it allowed them to play faster because they've been in it. Got a lot of reps, got a lot of meaningful reps last year. And then the rookies that we just added are a good group so far, too. So I'm excited." It is interesting, Joe, now to look at this Arizona team where the optimism is not high from the odds perspective. But with Kyler Murray back, hopefully for a full 18-week and 17-game schedule, has to be a brighter 2024 in store for Arizona.
Yeah, you would think, right? I thought actually, and to your point, Gannon did a great job early in the season. Let's not forget, he knocked off the Dallas Cowboys as a double-digit underdog. They went toe-to-toe with their first four opponents, right? Really punching above their weight, went toe-to-toe with Daniel Jones. And let's not forget, at the end of the regular season, as a, I think a 13 or a 12.5 point dog, beat Jalen Hurts and the Eagles after they trailed by like 18 points in the first half. They were dead. Right. Buried in that game, and they pulled it out in the fourth quarter. So they were a gutty team, and he did a very good job game planning. And obviously not having Kyler Murray, he started with Josh Dobbs. We know Dobbs moved on to Minnesota, but the defense wasn't that bad. What could they do in year two? Their success hinges on Kyler Murray. How consistent can he be? Can he elevate his game, and can he progress? And can he stay on the football field, right? The offensive line, I thought, did a pretty good job. They were able to run the football effectively. If that defensive front could take the next step and be more opportunistic and, let's say, get better against the run, they have a shot to potentially, I'll just say, potentially maybe be a 7 or an 8-win football team. Expecting them to be a double-digit team in any capacity, I think is out of the realm of possibility.
6.5 is the win total for Arizona, but the over does have the heavy juice. It is bet on the over at -178 at this moment. So -178 to the over of 6.5. The odds makers expecting at least 7 wins for the Cardinals. And Joe, we talk about this often. Again, Arizona had the lowest win total in the National Football League entering last season. They were not the worst team, though, in the NFL. That, of course, was the Carolina Panthers. And the Arizona Cardinals, booked as an underdog like the Panthers were in all 17 of their games a season ago, were much more competitive. When you're expected to be bad, you are going to be booked as an underdog. Just in the most basic determination of what that word means, underdog, you are not expected to win a game. You are not expected to win a game outright. Even if the spread is 3, you are still expected to lose that game outright. Can you keep games closer than expected? That is the charge of what you're against the spread record might be. And so, Joe, for the Cards to be booked as an underdog in all 17 games they played last year in 2023, and for their ATS record to be 9-8 against the spread, it is what you love to see for a team that did not have very high expectations, that not a lot of success in terms of wins and losses was thought very highly of. And thus, Arizona being 9-8 against the spread as an underdog should lead to better results in 2024. Because when you're an underdog that keeps games closer than the odds makers expect, as you improve year over year, week by week, those close games that you are falling on the losing margin of, but covering a number, staying within that pregame spread, eventually, as you start to improve, those margins tighten even up, and some of those close losses become close wins or just victories outright. I do think there is some optimism for Arizona.
Oh, there is. And you brought it up. That's the biggest thing in terms of a new coach, right? We talk about it on the college side. You talk about head coaches in terms of turning around programs. Same thing with an NFL organization. The first thing is you got to lose close. Second, after that, right, win those games that are close. In terms of the fourth quarter, you find ways to pull them out. That's how you build a mentality. That's how you build a locker room, you know, characteristic and a chemistry around your organization. And that's why I thought Gannon did a pretty good job. You know, I wasn't high on him, and he wasn't the flashiest pick coming from the Eagles, you know, leading that defense to a Super Bowl appearance a couple of years ago. But what he did with less was very impressive. Now, was it the fact that maybe teams took Arizona lightly because, you know, Kyler Murray wasn't there at the early part of the season, and they just, you know, all of a sudden started very, very hot with a new team? It's possible. I'm not saying we can't, you know, rule that out, but he did a really good job of keeping his team in games into the fourth quarter. And if he can continue that now with the draft picks that they've added offensively and defensively, and if Kyler now could show that he's not turnover prone, because it's not just Kyler Murray being on the football field, it's Kyler Murray cutting down on mistakes, Kyler Murray being able to recognize, hey, I have to tuck it and run, I can't force balls into coverage, I have to understand and elevate my game, just the way Baker Mayfield did in terms of multiple stops with the Rams, and his last one in terms of the Buccaneers, he matured as a quarterback. We need to see that out of Kyler Murray.
Yeah, absolutely. And that will be his task. Kyler Murray is compensated like one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League. In fact, the sixth highest paid QB entering the 2024 NFL campaign. But it seems as though, Joe, returning from injury and having a fully healthy offseason to grow, that's only going to be good things for the Cards. More to come your way up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Joe, going around the National Football League for this opening half an hour, our final 30 minutes will be dedicated on college football. And we've talked about a couple of teams and their offseason mantras and what they are doing now through organized team activities, OTAs, or into mandatory minicamp. As we often say, Joe, we love mandatory minicamp. We love the offseason program because it's not so much, okay, great, this thing happened in practice, that quarterback threw on air and it looked like a good spiral on a 10-yard dig route to his team's leading wide receiver. But you get to hear from the guys that you haven't heard from much, if at all, throughout the offseason. We talked about Kyler Murray and his expectations and not putting limitations on this Arizona Cardinals bunch for 2024. First time we've heard from Kyler Murray, Joe, at all this offseason in any public comments. And anytime Dan Campbell is at the mic, good things are going to happen. Colton Pouncey, who is a great reporter covering the Lions for The Athletic, just shared this out about 50 minutes ago, and it's already starting to make its waves because it's classic Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell says that his message to the team heading into the break is, what do you want? What do you want in this offseason break over these summer months before you get back for training camp in the later part of July? Then Campbell was asked what he wants by the reporters in the room. Campbell said, you know what I want. I want the whole enchilada, which, if he's describing the whole enchilada, can only mean one thing, Joe. That's a Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it should be, though. You know, let's be honest. Two years ago when they were highlighted on Hard Knocks, they were the team that hopefully could turn around the losing organization and the negativity surrounding them. Aiden Hutchinson, younger coach, younger players, right? And a quarterback in Jared Goff that was trying to answer all the critics, right? You know, Super Bowl, appearing Jared Goff that just didn't get enough credit for taking the Rams to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, even though they lost, or 3 years ago when they lost to the New England Patriots. So they had a lot of question marks. They answered that in the first year. They took the next step in year number two, and they made it to an NFC championship game, and they had San Francisco dead and buried, and they couldn't close it out. So you know what? If I'm Dan Campbell and I'm that team, it's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, there is no reason why, at least from their aspect, Ben, they shouldn't have their sights set on a Lombardi trophy, because they were very close. And for if it wasn't for a couple of mistakes and the defense not being as much opportunistic in the second half, ripping down that interception instead of allowing Brandon Ayuk to, you know, rip it into the end zone for a touchdown, maybe they would have been in the Super Bowl. You never know. So I agree with Dan Campbell. You have to keep your eye on the prize. It's not just 10 or 13 wins in terms of that. You have to win it all.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a conversation, Joe, around Dan Campbell and Detroit. Because if you believe in Dan Campbell, if you believe in the guy that speaks with a mantra and says things like the whole enchilada, then you love Dan Campbell and you love what the Lions believe in and you love the mentality this entire organization feeds off from their head coach. But there are some, Joe, I know Scott Wetzel, when he's on this show often, thinks of Dan Campbell kind of as a bonehead and pulling back the Detroit Lions, which I think is fair, with some of those costly decisions made in the second half of the NFC Championship game when the Lions were up by 17 and ultimately coughed it up against the San Francisco 49ers for the Niners to get back there. I think there's multiple ways of looking at it. A Detroit team that hadn't even won a playoff game in 32 years. A Detroit team that hadn't even won a divisional championship in three decades. Even getting to that stage is an accomplishment, but to be so close and to stumble so greatly on the doorstep is also something that needs to be discussed as well. Where do you fall, DC guy, into the idea of Detroit, Dan Campbell, and trusting they will be back on that stage once again?
Going to be tough. Going to be a lot harder this year than I think last year. And the reason why I say that is, again, the bullseye's on their back. They're no longer the huntee. They're the hunted, right? They're the team, along with San Francisco, that played for a championship appearance. And at the end of the day, you know, you look at the teams that they have to compete with, forget just in their division, right? Green Bay with Jordan Love and now Caleb, hopefully, you know, newfound optimism with Chicago and Minnesota, respectively. But the other teams in the NFC, a team that I'm very high on is the LA Rams. You know, they went toe-to-toe with the Lions and lost that ball game by 1 point, right? So I expect them to be there in terms of the additions that they made on the defensive side of the ball. We see these other teams, Dallas, the Eagles, the Giants. It's going to be very difficult for them to step up and just repeat. They're going to have to play their A game.
Yeah, and it is wild, Joe, because they have the second best price to win the NFC. The Lions have the second best price to win the NFC, and it's not a misprint. That is now the expectation for a franchise that really hadn't been to that stage in three decades prior to last year. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. All right, that first half an hour was fun, right? But it's time for what we're really here for. It's college football conversations coming your way for the next 28 minutes live right here on FFC. When you got the mastermind of the college football pigskin up and in the hot seat today, that's Joe Lisi. You got to talk a little bit of CFB. Lisi guy, I'm going to present you a couple of narratives here, and I would love to get your thoughts on it. Last week, I was asked by our wonderful Sports Grid social media team to do a video to share out some socials on what was happening in college football. I chose the opportunity because I've been looking at the odds a little bit more here over the past few days to talk about the Heisman Trophy prices that we have entering 2024, because for the first time in a few years, Joe, we don't have the reigning Heisman winner back in college football as we had the previous two seasons. Bryce Young won it in 2021. He was back in 2022. Caleb Williams won it in 2022. He was back for the 2023 college football campaign. Now, neither guy pulled off what Archie Griffin did as the only back-to-back Heisman Trophy winner in 1974 and 75, the running back for the Ohio State, but both entered the year as short favorites to win their second consecutive Heisman Trophy award. We don't have that distinction. We don't have that narrative or storyline entering this college football season, which I guess then might say that the Heisman Trophy race should be at least theoretically wide open. And when you look at the odds, it is. The three shortest prices, the three prices, Joe, at 10-1. Carson Beck, the quarterback out of Georgia. He is the favorite at plus 750. Quinn Ewers, second best number, the quarterback for Texas at 9-1. Dylan Gabriel, now the quarterback at Oregon, a 10-1 number. So those are the Heisman Trophy odds where they stand. Lisi guy, what do you make of the front runners, at least as the odds makers have it, to begin this season?
Well, we talk about it, right? You know, best player, best team to compete for potentially a national championship, and that's why you have Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck there, you know, because, you know, SEC has the hardest schedule according to many experts and, you know, rankings, and those two teams potentially can be there, right? And you talk about Georgia undefeated in the regular season. Their only loss came to Alabama, and they didn't make the college football playoff. You can make the argument Georgia was the best team in college football last year. If they squared off against Michigan, might have been a different outcome. Who knows? But that's why he's there, and rightfully so. You know, performance as well in big games, even though stats-wise from the start of the season to the end, maybe he didn't wow with 50 touchdowns. But in the biggest games for Georgia's campaign, Carson Beck had 300-yard performances. I mean, first half against Kentucky, he threw for, I think, 265 yards. He lit up Auburn, you know, in terms of the final two quarters to pull that ball game out. So he has great performances. He has the potential to break out as well, along with Quinn Ewers. Now, I think it's a little bit harder for Quinn Ewers, even though Isaiah Bond comes over. You know, there's multiple players that have moved on. Is that defense as good as it was last year? But both of those teams and players deserve to be there. What I like to look at, Ben, is, you know, we talk about quarterbacks, we talk about wide receivers. I'm actually thinking I'm going to go year of the running back. You know, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, you know, my guy, Donovan Edwards. What does it take? You have such huge prices on these guys. Prices, 100, 120 to 1. I'm going to go and take a shot that a running back potentially could save it. I will do that. So, you know, we'll see what transpires. Mm. But you can't rule out the great prices that these running backs have. And I know it's hard for them to win it, but you can't turn it away.
So the last running back, of course, to win the Heisman Trophy was Derrick Henry back in 2015. The previous running back prior to that, Mark Ingram, 2009. And then Reggie Bush, a little bit of everything, in 2005. The Heisman Trophy Award, Lisi guy, as we well know, is mostly a quarterback award. In the past 10 years, in the college football playoff era, of which Derrick Henry began as the Heisman Trophy winner in 2015, we have seen eight quarterbacks win the award, and then two non-quarterbacks, the wide receiver Devontae Smith in 2020 and Derrick Henry, as we showed, in 2015. It is a quarterback award for the most part, but it doesn't mean that maybe this year, Joe, when things seem a little bit up in the air, there's not that standout guy that we look at right now and say, that guy's baked in, no doubt about it, runaway favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, that there could not be a running back or a wide receiver or a guy like a Travis Hunter that does everything that could flirt with Heisman contention at a certain point throughout the season. Now, I do want to give some respect to Carson Beck, as you laid out, Joe. We had this conversation so many times on College Football Today last year with Kevin Walsh, yourself, and myself included in it, that in the previous 2 years when Georgia won a national championship, we started every discussion, every breakdown on why the Bulldogs were the best team in the country from the defensive side of the football. And then, okay, what could our guy Stetson Bennett and the likes of Dejon Edwards or Kendall Milton do in the backfield with the emergence of a Brock Bowers, so on and so forth, to put up enough points to win them football games, ultimately win a national championship? In that second year, I don't think we gave Stetson Bennett enough credit. But last year, Lisey guy, although Georgia's defense was really good, still top 10, top 15 in the country, pretty much in every key metric, I would make this point often, and I think you agreed, that we really should start conversations about Georgia on the offensive side of the football. That's how good Carson Beck was a year ago. 8 of the 12 regular season games for UGA, he threw for 280 yards or more. He had 24 touchdowns last year to only 6 interceptions, played a very clean brand of football with a 72.4% completion percentage. Now, you might be saying, okay, he's still Carson Beck, he's not known to lead this Georgia team. I really argue differently for Beck entering this season. Now, I'm not sure I bet him to win the Heisman Trophy, but I do agree right now that he is the favorite. But he's not the favorite at a 4-1 number, a plus 250 price before the season even gets started. It's plus 750. And I do believe that Carson Beck will be, at least in the Heisman Trophy conversation, for a good majority, if not all, of the 2024 college football campaign.
I'm with you. Now, you know, I did have concerns going from BYU, where the pressure's not on, and that's not a knock on in regards to the Cougars, but it was a different animal going from BYU to Georgia, and he handled it perfectly. Did he have some bumps in the road? He did. In that Auburn game, he wasn't that great in the first half, but he showed some mental resolve. He overcame adversity and found ways to win when the game was on his shoulders, and that's what you want. And let's not forget, he's a big kid. He's 6'4", 6'5", right? Big frame, strong arm, can make every throw. And again, when you have a huge offensive line and you have Kirby Smart and you have those defensive players that can give you multiple opportunities to score because of how dominant they are, you have the resume. And you know, on top of the resume, they have the schedule. They face Texas. They face Alabama. They face Tennessee. These are all teams that are potentially as roadblocks to get to a college football playoff. Florida as well. You navigate through those, you're gonna, and Clemson to start the year. You're gonna have those marquee top 25 games to just light it up and be there. So is it great value? No, it's not great value, but he's deserving to be there, Ben.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe. I would certainly agree with that conversation. Now, I mentioned that social media video that I did for the Spiz Grizz Network. And I mentioned two names that I would keep an eye on in the Heisman Trophy race. One, a shorter price that maybe you have heard of before. The other one, that unless you're really into the weeds in college football, you might not think of this person and his name as a quarterback in the Big 12, first and foremost. I will present the first name to you, Joe, and would love your reaction. Jackson Dart at 15-1. Because I shared the Heisman Trophy history lesson for people in that video, as we did just there. 8 of the last 10 winners, a quarterback. 8 of the last 10 winners, or 7 of the last 10, I should say, brought their team to a conference championship game or a college football playoff spot. And with Ole Miss favored to reach the CFP in the expanded 12-team format, I think Jackson Dart has a really good chance of being in the Heisman Trophy conversation when this year is done and through. We'll get Joe Lisi's thoughts on Jackson Dart and the other name I have on the Heisman Trophy radar for 2024 up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live on Football Full Circle. So right before we got to the commercial break, I told Joe Lisi a name that I am keeping an eye on for the Heisman Trophy race in 2024 at a 15-1 number, one of the 10 best prices, but still 15-1, Jackson Dart, the quarterback for Ole Miss. Lisi guy, when I say Jackson Dart in contention for the Heisman Trophy, what is your reaction to that?
No, I agree with you. I've said it too, in the offseason. Jackson Dart was my guy, especially at the end of the regular season last year. Got the win over Penn State, and I mean, lit it up, and he has his top two wide receivers coming back. He's a mobile quarterback, so on top of the passing yards, you get the RPO game involved, right? Averaged well over 6 yards per rush and had dynamic performances. You know, he lost to Alabama, but again, didn't play all that bad and had his team in a position to win that game in Tuscaloosa last year. Again, it's going to come down to can he navigate and knock off some of the contenders. I think he can. I think this Ole Miss team is legit. They've definitely solidified that defense in regards to the transfer portal. Lane Kiffin has done a fantastic job, and we talk about embracing the transfer and NIL landscape. I love this team. I really do. Now people will say, it's Ole Miss, right? But let's not forget, it's a 12-team playoff. So even if they have that Ole Miss moment where, let's just say, they lose a marquee game to Alabama, LSU, whichever, right, they still have a window of opportunity because of the body of work and the fact that if they're 10-2 or 11-1 and maybe one or two of their losses came less than a touchdown, and because it's Kiffin, they're going to be there. So, Jackson Dart at 15-1 has the ability to put up huge numbers in this offense this season. I mean, 40 touchdowns combined wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
Listen, the numbers are always going to be there in a Lane Kiffin offense. So much of the talent on the offensive side of the football returns for the running Rebs as well. Yes, Quinshon Judkins left Ole Miss, left Oxford, now playing at Ohio State in Columbus. But that doesn't mean Ulysses Bentley IV went anywhere. He's back. He is going to be a dynamic piece of this offense. The offensive numbers, Joe, with what Ole Miss does and how they operate and the pace in which they play offensively and how many plays they get off and call snaps for during a game, the numbers are going to be there for Jackson Dart, and I expect that to be the case. And as I shared, in the 10-year history of the four-team format of the college football playoff, 7 of the 10 Heisman Trophy winners either led their team to a conference championship game at bare minimum, or a spot in the college football playoff. Thus, team success often leads to individual success and vice versa in the Heisman Trophy conversation. Now, there are some outliers. Jaden Daniels, of course, last year. Caleb Williams, the year prior, not winning that conference championship in Pac-12 fashion against Utah. And then Lamar Jackson back in 2016. But everybody else, a conference championship title and or a spot in the college football playoff. Those are key barometers. Now, the 12-team era could complicate that, Joe, because it's a new standard of criteria. But with Ole Miss favored at a minus 124 price to get to the college football playoff, again, I think Jackson Dart is going to be in consideration. So here's another guy, Joe, a little bit more down the list. Not a super long shot at 250-1, but at 25-1. When I say the name Avery Johnson, maybe you're listening to Football Full Circle and you're not even in that much of college football conversation. You're thinking Avery Johnson, the former NBA point guard, the NBA, the head coach back in the day in the NBA, the head coach of Alabama basketball? No, not that Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson, the sophomore quarterback for Kansas State, taking the reins of this K-State program that partially led, in my opinion, Joe Will Howard going to Columbus for Ohio State anyway. And Avery Johnson, a guy that I expect tremendous things out of in 2024. Again, his price to win the Heisman, 25-1.
Yeah, he lit up my Texas Tech Red Raiders. What did he have, 5 rushing touchdowns in that game? It was amazing in regards to what he did in terms of that performance. Again, he's a mobile guy. He has the ability to take games over with his legs. We've seen this in Big 12 quarterbacks that, guys that can throw it and run it have the opportunity to run the table, right? It's not going to be easy for Avery Johnson. I like the look, 25-1 bet. I mean, it's great value when you think about it. Chris Kleiman is a national champion in terms of what he did with North Dakota State, has coached up this team offense and defensive lines. I just think the Big 12 is going to be crazy in regards to competitiveness. You know, when you just look at it from top to bottom, the fact that Oklahoma and Texas aren't there, great. But now you still have UCF with KJ Jefferson. You have the usual suspects like Mike Gundy in Oklahoma. You have Texas Tech that's up and coming. You add other teams now, Arizona and Colorado, Noah Fifita and Shedeur Sanders. I mean, it's going to be loaded, baby. I mean, yeah, if he can navigate and be 12-0 or, you know, 11-1 and put up huge numbers, I like the look. You know, Ben, I can't do it. Oh. But, again, you know, you just made me think of somebody else. Ollie Gordon, again, we're talking about the year of the running back, another running back, 150-1 odds, 130-1. He led the nation in rushing. You know how I love those pokes. I'm going running back. You're going quarterback. So I think we're on to something.
Yeah, listen, and Joe, there's a really good chance in this new reimagined Big 12, the conference realignment landscape, that things look different. Part of the reason that I thought Avery Johnson, and I believe Avery Johnson will be in contention for the Heisman Trophy, is because of the standard that I set. 7 of the 10 winners of this award in the last 10 years, the last decade, the four-team format of the college football playoff era, they led their team to a conference championship or a spot in the college football playoff. And with where things are brokered now in the CFP format in this 12-team era, you get the automatic berth as a champion of the Power Four conferences. And K-State has the second best price and only behind Utah ever so slightly to win the Big 12. If Avery Johnson leads the Wildcats to do that this year in the Little Apple, he's going to be in the Heisman Trophy conversation. And when you look at Avery Johnson in his true freshman campaign, he appeared in 8 games for K-State, 5 passing touchdowns, 7 on the ground. A dynamic athlete at the quarterback position that I think can do some really, really big things this year for Kansas State. We'll talk about the college football playoff schedule that was released for 2024 into 2025 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. So, Joe Lisi, obviously a man of the running back here this year in the Heisman Trophy conversation. I look more at the quarterbacks. Either way, Joe, I think we expect if it's a running back, a quarterback, a wide receiver, the team that that player plays for is going to be in contention for a conference championship and, as we know it, Lisi guy, maybe a spot in the college football playoff. Yesterday, officially announced the college football playoff schedule for this 2024 college football campaign. And it looks a little bit something like this, the first ever rendition of the 12-team format. Lisi guy, the first round of the college football playoff will take place on Friday and Saturday, December 20th and 21st. We have one game at 8 p.m. Eastern on that Friday night, December 20th, a triple header of action starting at noon Eastern time on Saturday, December 21st. Then we will have the playoff quarterfinals. We have one game on New Year's Eve, that's Tuesday, December 31st at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and then a triple header of CFP action on Wednesday, January 1st, 2025. New Year's Day is not complete unless there is college football playoff games played on it. The playoff semifinals will be just over a week later, Thursday, Jan 9th, Friday, January 10th. We'll get to that in just a moment. And then over a week layoff until our national championship game, the first one in this 12-team format, Monday, January 20th, 2025, with an earlier kick as scheduled at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Lisi, what do you make of the CFP format that we have?
Where are they? Are they going to put the Sun Bowl in between the championship games or in the semifinal playoff games? That's all I care about. No,
On which day you're saying?
Well, I mean, you typically...
The Sun Bowl is generally earlier than New Year's Day and New Year's Eve.
Yeah, 29th, 30th, depending upon how it falls. So we gotta cram it in there somehow. I mean, that would be great. That 21st, the first weekend, right, that it kicks off. I think it's, three games, 12, 4, and what is it, 8? We're up against a couple of NFL games. I don't care. I mean, we'll watch the NFL games. I'll have it on, but you know that we're going to be locked and loaded. And most likely will be the group of five, right? Team like Liberty or Tulane or whoever cracks the party. Love to see a triple option team make the college football playoff. Army, Navy. I would love it. I would love it. Wouldn't you love to see a triple option team get into the 12-team playoff and just think like, hey, on any given Saturday, they can win it and make the championship game? That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that would be incredible. Air Force would have been in contention last year, Joe, after the undefeated start to their season before they floundered down the stretch. Now, I love that Friday night game on December 20th. I don't give a damn, even if it's Chiefs, Steelers, and Ravens, Texans, how good the NFL games are. We're into the college football playoff for that triple header, on Saturday, December 21st. Love the playoff quarterfinal schedule because I like significant bowl games in college football history and tradition to be played on January 1st, and we have three of them, including the granddaddy of them all out in Pasadena under the San Gabriel Mountains in California. That's the Rose Bowl at 5 p.m. Eastern Time in that first game of the quarterfinal round the night before New Year's Eve, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Now, Lisa, I am infatuated with the first round this year. It's the first time we will have on-campus college football playoff games ever. Those environments, yes, maybe even bitter and cold in late December, are going to be incredible. Playoff semifinal games, that I don't really love. Thursday, January 9th, Friday, January 10th. And the reason, Joe, those games are done then is because the Saturday and Sunday is devoted for Super Wild Card Weekend around the National Football League. So I get that college football is not trying to compete with the NFL that always remains king. But Thursday, Friday, I don't know, not my favorite thing in the world.
No, I mean, especially in they're going to be night games. I like day games. I want to see semifinal playoff games in the day. That's what I want to see. I want to see that December and January sun cascade off burnt out turf or burnt out grass, like on the plains in Auburn. That's amazing. I tell you, I want to see that. Show me the rolling hills of Texas El Paso just cascading down. Oh, that's what I love. Love it.
That's what you do. You do love that. And I would also say one other thing. I think we should turn the college football playoff national championship game into a Saturday noon Eastern start. I guess we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow because we're coming up on the end of our show. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. Again, no, we're back tomorrow, Friday, noon Eastern time, here on Sports Grid Radio.